As we start the new year here, a lot of people do these resolutions, right? They're very popular. And you said the word, right? Pressure. The pressure of resolutions. But I thought about coming into the new year. What kind of sermon just takes us back to the basics that excites us? What's the most important resolution that we won't even call it a resolution? It's a basic of life for us. And as I thought about that, I kind of came up with what we're going to talk about today. And before we get started, I want to talk about resolutions. About 50% of Americans make resolutions. I'm in the 50% that don't because I always fail at them, and I'd rather not fail, so I just don't start. Amen. Thank you. That might be the most important thing. That better not be the most important thing I say today. 50% of people will make them. The top three for the last few years: exercise, lose weight, save money. Should be doing that anyway, right? That's coming from me. But why? Why do people make resolutions? The interesting statistic that I found is about 15 to 20% of the people that make them feel like they succeed in them. 15 to 20%. That's 80 to 85% failure rate. Okay, but why? Why do people feel that resolutions are important? When we move in from the old year to the new year, it helps us to see a better us, right? Because when we come to the end of the year, we're looking back at what happened, what we did, what we were for that year. And my guess is that most of us see something that can be improved upon. So I think that's kind of part of where resolutions come from. We understand in this time of the year that we need to fix something. When we come into the new year, we think about a new focus. We want to focus on something. So to put it in front of us, we say we're going to do this New Year's resolution. It helps us to focus, right? But as you can see from the 80 to 85% failure rate, it doesn't help us keep focus. It starts us on the right path. But then life and busyness and kids and parents and everything that goes along with our busyness gets in the way. We fail because we let life stop our focus. The best resolution, and again, we're not going to call it this because this is life. This is not a resolution. If you don't start this on January 2nd, start it on the 3rd or the 4th or April 1st or June or July. This has nothing to do with the new year. The best resolution we can make is to focus or refocus on God. And what I want to talk today about are five things that I came up with that are going to help us do that. And before you turn me off here, right? Before the people that say, oh, I'm good, I focus on God all the time, this isn't for me, I'm going to start making my grocery list in my head. Christine Laws, don't make your grocery list in your head. But if you do, I need cookies. Before you turn it off and say this isn't for me, I want you to understand one thing before I start on this. This is for everybody. Our relationship with God, our focus on Him, is there's no finish line. We keep growing and we keep pushing and we keep pulling Him in. And there's going to be some things on this list that you're going to hear and you're going to say, oh, I do that really well. But I want you to really listen to the message, because as well as you do it, there's always going to be something that you can improve upon. And if you're improving on something you're doing really well, you're really tuning in your focus. witness to who God is. These five things that I came up with are basic. They're basic things. They're the foundation of what it looks like to focus on God. And if you think about the foundation, as I was going through some things this week with the sermon, thought about the foundation of my house. Right? If we take these five basic things and build our foundation, and we do them really good, and we're really solid with them, then when we get to the hard parts, we're already built up. We're already focused on God. We don't have to turn around and look where we left him. He's already there with us. And as we build the foundation of a house, we use good, solid blocks or concrete these days. And they take their time and they make it really sturdy. If you built your house with foundation that was just thrown together and you only came back to it when something went wrong, how long do you think your house is going to stand? Not long. And if it does, it's going to be a pain in the butt to walk through because it's going to creak and move and all that stuff. It's the foundation. It's the basic blocks underneath. You could have the biggest, prettiest house on the block. Your life, your faith could look really big and really pretty on the surface. But if the foundation of our house and the foundation of our faith are not solid, then it's going to fall at one point or another. And these five things that we're going to go through today, I want you to just really focus on them. Again, there may be one that you say, I do that really well. And I want you to find something out of this and improve on what you do really well. And there's going to be some that you go, oh, yeah, I'm really bad at that. Now's the time to start doing it and building the foundation. Number one seems really simple. Again, basic blocks. Begin each day with God. I think most people try to do that. Raise your hand if you try to begin each day with God. A majority. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this, but how many people fail at that because busyness and life and the doctor's appointment that's an hour earlier before school starts and you got to get up earlier and you just leave that time behind? Beginning with God guarantees each day that we're focusing on him. If we don't start with him, then we're going to meet a point in our day where we're going to need him. It's guaranteed we're going to meet a point in our day that we need him. And if we started our day focused on him, we're already going to know what to do when we get to that point. He's already there with us. We're already focused on what he wants and what he needs from us. Now, some people will say, well, I do it on my drive to work, and I do it at night. Nothing wrong with that. Keep doing it on your drive to work and at night, but start with something in the morning, whether it's a conversation, whether it's a devotional. I encourage my children, download the Bible app. They do a daily verse. Read the daily verse and talk to God about how it makes you feel or what you don't understand in it. That simple thing focuses your entire day on God. And if you don't know how important it is to be focused on God, John 15, 1 through 11, Jesus takes us through a description of what is important. Now, you hear all the time, if something's repeated in the Bible, it's pretty important, right? Anybody can agree to that? want you to count as I read this how many times you hear the word abide or remain, depending on which version you're using. Count the number of times you hear those words. Starting in one, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Did anybody count those? 11? 11 times. In one lesson, Jesus explains how important it is to remain or abide in him. Now, 2 makes it important. What does 11 make it? Foundational? Crucial? Something that you should start your day with? This block of our foundation is basically remaining in him. And if we're not starting our day doing that, it becomes very easy to get caught up in the rest of our day and never go back to it. I hate to admit this, but there's been days where I've gone and I think everything's going perfect, and then I realize, oh man, I haven't touched my Bible in 3 days. You know how bad that makes me feel? 11 times I'm told to remain in him, and I didn't make it important enough for 3 days. We do it at the beginning. Just something. 10 minutes. 15 minutes. Get really in the spirit. Go 4 hours. Okay, not 4 hours. Then you're late for work and school. Or to get the grandkids. The second one, which is great, I love when I come to a church that has no idea what I'm going to preach on, and the person that sets up the music chooses songs that fall right in. Isn't that funny how that works? Remain in prayer. Again, sounds basic, right? Who doesn't remain in prayer? Well, unfortunately, probably all of us at one point or another. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 gives us the exact instruction on what that means. Pray without ceasing. That's it. 3 words. Pray without ceasing. The interesting thing about prayer is people like to make it a checklist thing, right? When we lay down at night, the head hits the pillow. I have to do it before my head hits the pillow. As my wife will tell you, as soon as the head hits the pillow, I'm out, gone. No matter what's going on in the world, Phil falls asleep in 4.2 seconds. And my wife hates it because it takes her an hour. But what I want you to understand about praying without ceasing. It's not something that's checklist. It's something that we continuously do all day long. When we conversate with Jesus, when we tell him how we feel, when we listen to how he responds, that's all in our prayers. Any conversation we're having with him. When somebody says, pray for so-and-so, they're really sick, and we add it to our list, we may or may not remember at the end of the day to pray for them. What I encourage people to do is close your eyes and bow your head at that moment and pray for them. Pray without ceasing. Prayer not only brings us closer to God, it changes lives. So if there's something so basic that's so important that it can change a life the instant that you do it, why put it on your list for evening time? Do it immediately. Talk to God as soon as you feel the need to talk to God. Consistently throughout the entire day without ceasing. It's not about big words that we use. Some people pray very eloquently. The these and the thous and the great words. It sounds wonderful. But God doesn't care if you sound like that. If you don't sound like that, he wants your prayers just as much. Praying isn't about how we sound. It's about our heart. It's about how we let him in. Our third block of our foundation becomes very hard in our culture. And it's to limit distractions. I bet nobody in here has a single distraction going on, even today. None of you, right? Distractions are everywhere. In 1 John 2:15, it reads, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Distractions. If you begin to make things more important than your personal time with God, it has become a distraction. This block is more about prioritizing. Prioritizing the things that help us focus on God. Church, our Bible, fellowship, serving, prayer. Those things take priority. But when we allow our distractions to take priority, we slowly begin to turn our head away from our focus on God. Decreasing distractions. My youngest son, who I've already paid his $5. I pay my kids $5 every time I mention them in a sermon. I paid him. If you guys don't know me, I have horrible memories. I went ahead and paid him. He doesn't know what I'm saying yet, so I'm building up the trauma. Most sports these days start at a very young age. Well, he got into wrestling because one of his older brothers did wrestling, and he loved it. He was about 4 or 5 years old. He started wrestling, maybe even younger. They start really early. But he went to all these practices, and he worked real hard, and he got pretty good at wrestling. And then we got to realize that all the younger kids' wrestling tournaments are on Sunday, because all of the high school tournaments are on Saturday. Well, as you can imagine, that made wrestling pretty difficult in our household. So we had to prioritize, right? We had to limit our distraction. I want you to notice, the distraction wasn't something horrible that we were doing. It was a wrestling tournament for our son. Wasn't bad, but it was still a distraction from our family and our faith. We had to sit him down, and we had to explain to him, you can still go to practice. You can still work really hard. You just can't wrestle in tournaments until you get to a school age where they have them on days other than Sunday. And he said, good. I like church better than wrestling tournaments anyway. I take credit for that, no. But do you see what we did there? We limited our distraction. How many travel league baseballs and basketballs and tennis and every other sport that put things on Sundays because it's the only day that people can attend? We can't attend. So we won't go. But I just want you to recognize the distractions aren't always the bad things. They're just prioritizing the good things. Church, Bible, fellowship, serving, prayer. Prioritize those things when you build your foundation. The fourth thing, the fourth block of our foundation. Again, it sounds really simple when I say it. Serving God by serving others. You talked about all the behind the scenes here at the church. The piano, the harmonica. Can I just say I'm jealous that the harmonica's not still playing while I'm doing my sermon? That would have been awesome. I could have stunk and it would have sounded great. That's serving. That's serving God by serving others. And it's not just in the church, right? It's in our community. It's in our school. It's everywhere. It's holding a door for somebody and smiling at them while you're doing it. Serving others is a block of our foundation. Serving others turns our hearts into who Jesus wants us to be. It's not for us. It's not even for the person we're serving. It's for who Jesus wants us to be. And we go back to the distractions, right? In today's culture, there's so much stuff going on that we think it's okay not to do some things where we could serve some people. And it is okay to say no. But I want you to really think hard about those things and the opportunities that come in front of you to serve others. And I'm talking about serving with your time, your energy, your talents, and your money. Each of us, in some form or fashion, can serve with any of those things. But it's a choice to do it. God will put those opportunities in front of us. And if we're focused on Him, if we continue to focus on Him, guess what? Those opportunities excite us. They don't become burdens on us. They excite us because we know what we're doing. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. That's why we serve. Because it allows us to be the light of Jesus to others. That's foundational in our focus on God. I went many, 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 many years in my faith not understanding that. And I can stand here today and look back and say, it saddens me all the opportunities that I missed, but I'm glad I learned the difference because I can see all the opportunities that He's placed in front of me since then. As we serve others, We go back to the what Jesus is talking about and the fruits on the vine. Right? That's what our fruit looks like. Us serving is the fruit on the vine. And if our branch isn't producing fruit, it gets cut off and thrown in the fire. It's pretty important to grow those fruit. The fifth thing, and again, when I say, I just read it again, and I think, man, that's basic. Why is this even in here? It's to remove sin. Pretty basic, right? We all think we do a fairly good job at it, and yet we're all sinners. Sin separates us from God. And if we don't care about that separation, we are unable to focus on Him. When I talk about removing sin, it's removing habitual, continuous, sinful habits. Now process that for a minute. Habitual, continuous, sinful habits. Again, I don't want somebody sitting there and saying, well, I haven't murdered, I'm doing good. That's not the continuous, habitual, sinful habit that's separating us from God. Now, guaranteed murder would separate you from God, but I'm talking about the little things. And you know what they are. God's already putting them in your head. He's telling you, I don't need to stand up here and list them because I don't know all of them that exist. I know the ones in my life that I work on. And God's putting the ones in your life that you should work on. Right in your mind, right now. Continuous sinful habits. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. By removing the sin, by removing the separation, we're allowed to focus our eyes on Jesus. Now, you can think that you do a good job of that, still doing the continuous habitual sin. But there's still a separation there that you will never persevere through the race until it's rectified. Again, it's not the big things in our lives that's creating that separation that hinders us from focusing. When we're doing that habit, and we know that we shouldn't be doing that habit, it numbs us to the effects that God has on us. It numbs us from being able to see what He needs from us. So if we remove it and we're focused on Him, we don't worry about it anymore. It becomes something in our past, a story for us to tell to others who may be going through the same thing. So as we conclude today, I just want to mention again our five blocks. Beginning our day with God, remaining in Him 11 times. In John 15, 11 times He tells us to remain in Him. And beginning our day with Him is the perfect way to do it every day. Remaining in prayer, praying without ceasing. Taking it from the checkbox on your faith to every moment and every day that you feel like you need his peace and comfort, or to talk to him, or to yell at him and tell him what's going on just isn't right. All of those moments when we talk to him is exactly what it means to pray without ceasing. Limiting our distractions. Not just the big things, not just the bad things, but the things that need prioritized should come first. Serving others so that God can see our heart and the others can see our light. And removing sin, removing the separation that we place between us and God. It's impossible to focus on God when you're purposefully separating yourself from him. When we do these five things, when we focus on God daily, it allows us to turn towards Jesus. It allows us to see him. It allows us to understand what he wants us to be. It allows us to take the bad on and appreciate the good. I mean, if you're razor focused on God, you can appreciate the bad. Think about that. You can appreciate the bad when you're focused on God, because you can still see his hand in it. And it allows us to grow, not only in our faith, but in our relationship with Jesus. When we set up our solid foundation, the people around us see that. The people around us lean into that. And we talk about our culture all the time of separating further and further from God. And yet, when we're not focused on him, we don't do anything to help it. So my challenge for you, now again, not just in the, it's not a resolution, there's no pressure. No pressure. Okay, a little pressure. But take these five things to heart. Focus on them, and that allows you to focus on God. No matter what age you are, no matter where you're at in your walk, you can take these five things and get closer, not just in the new year, but for the rest of the year. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, as we think about our foundation in you, Lord, I ask that you point out the cracks in our foundation, that you point out the bad construction, not because we want to feel bad about who we are, but because we want to be better. Lord, we want to be able to take these blocks of our foundation and build our faith in a way that changes lives. Lord, we can do that. Each one of us can do that as we focus on you and as you use us as you've intended to use us. As we become the branches that bear the fruit, Lord, put every single opportunity that you see for us to grow and to serve you in front of us so that our foundation can be as sturdy as anything you've ever put here on earth. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.